Have you noticed that some of the people who string lights for Halloween just leave them up for Christmas now? Lights, trees, wrapping paper, all potentially dispensable, but Christmas would not seem like Christmas without music, and musical groups everywhere are gearing up for seasonal concerts, including the Rogue Valley Chorale. Lorianne Hunter is the artistic director of the Rogue Valley Chorale and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Lori.
Hello.
It's good to have you here. Let's talk about the group. It's been around a while now. This is a group that's got some history in the Rogue Valley.
This is the first choral group really to exist here in the Rogue Valley. The founding director, Lynn Scholand, who just retired after 40 years with the group, was the high school music teacher for some years, and found that some of the students that had been through his program when they graduated high school and needed a place to sing, and asked him to form a community choir, which he did. And some of those former students are still with the group today.
Really? They stayed through the entire run of the
Rogue
Valley
Chorale?
We have
some people who, for whom this is their 42nd season singing with the group.
That's amazing. That's a great bit of longevity, isn't it?
We call them the founding mothers.
Uh-huh.
Because it was mainly a group of women who were the first members of the chorale.
Let's give folks a sample of what the Rogue Valley Chorale sounds like. How many members altogether?
We're usually around 100.
Around 100 members. Okay, so let's hear a little bit. This is called Break Forth, O Beauteous Heavenly Light. That's pretty amazing stuff from the Rogue Valley Chorale. Break Forth, O Beauteous Heavenly Light. And do we know who that piece is by? I know this is probably preceding you.
It is. And I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to play stump the artistic director there. But so where do the singers come from? Are they people with different skill levels, different music reading abilities, things like that?
Absolutely. Well, geographically, members come from all over the Rogue Valley. We have people from Ashland and Medford and Grants Pass and points in between. Who carpool in from their various points, and yes, various degrees of musical aptitude as well. So I like to, when I audition people, give them the chance so that I'm not taking just people who are good readers, but somebody who has a good ear and can pick up music quickly, or is willing to put in the work to learn music. So we have not only a wide age range, but a wide range in ability as well.
What kind of commitment is required then from the singers? I mean, this is not a paid organization or anything, I'm thinking. Or I don't know that, though.
Well, there is a dues, membership dues to join. But for those, if there's people listening who, might want to join but are afraid of the membership, we also do have scholarships for people who want to sing and aren't able to. We want to spread the news. We want singing to be something that's available. The opportunity to sing should be available for anybody who wants it.
I know I met you several years ago through connections to the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, and I noticed that it seems like there is some cross-pollination that goes on, and not just within musical groups, I should point out, but also in theater groups in the Rogue Valley in particular, where everybody seems to work a little while here, then a little while there. So are there some people who are members of the Rogue Valley Chorale and other vocal groups in the Valley?
Yes, we certainly, between repertory singers, there's always been a few people from in both choirs, and I know that being also a singer in the repertory singers that are conducted there, Dr. Paul French has been very considerate about not scheduling rep singers rehearsals on top of chorale concerts, and encourages the singers of the group to attend so we can see what each other are doing.
Wow, that must make for some interesting logistics on each individual part if they're in both groups. try to learn the music for each of the programs when you're probably doing concerts, particularly at Christmas time, pretty close together.
That's right.
And so tell me about the Christmas concert coming up for the Rogue Valley Chorale. I see it's Christmas Around the World coming up on Friday, December 5th and Sunday, December 7th.
I'm very excited about this program. We decided, since the symphony is doing the Handel Messiah and the Siskiyou Singers are doing the Bach Christmas Oratorio, that we wanted to present something that was more family-oriented and would have perhaps a broader appeal. We are an organization, engages a number of age groups, and we can talk about that later. But the Christmas program in particular, this one, we not only are going to different geographical regions around the world, but also including a lot of other guest musicians. We have the Rogue Ringers, a handbell group, coming to ring for our opening number, appropriately called On This Day Earth Shall Ring. We have percussionist Teresa McCoy will be joining us on a number of pieces. But our guest artists, we have James Keir from the duo Men of Worth, who for our Celtic section will be performing the song Christmas in the Trenches, which is the song about the World War I armistice of Christmas Eve. And this is, that was 1914, so this is actually the 100th anniversary of that event.
Yes. Okay.
Which, I didn't even realize that when I first called him to ask him to sing the song. He had recorded it at my husband's recording studio, so that's kind of how I knew about it. And that song had always really, really stuck with me as a very, very powerful message. And when I called him to ask him if he was available, and he reminded me that it was the 100th anniversary, I thought, wow, that's really cool.
And it's an amazing story, too, that the German and French and British soldiers, I guess, decided just, we're not going to do this. We're
right.
not going to fight the war yeah. during Christmas. And they went out and played games with each other and dined together and all that sort of stuff.
And sang Christmas carols.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our other guest artist is a high school freshman, Grace Pruitt, who is from Kenya. And from Nairobi, Kenya. And so we have a little African set in our first half. And so we found a song that kind of came from her worship experience at the Nairobi Chapel. And so I wrote a choral backup for that. And we're happy to have her come and sing that as part of our African set.
And so this is the 5th of December, Friday, and the 7th of December, Sunday, Christmas Around the World, both at the Criterion Theater
yes.
in Medford?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. We're talking to Lorianne Hunter, the artistic director of the Rogue Valley Chorale, about upcoming concerts and about the workings of the chorale generally. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org or check us out on Facebook. You can see the picture we snapped of Lori just a few moments ago. Let's hear a little more of the Rogue Valley Chorale. This is a chunk of something called Two Music by David Childs. So just a couple of questions about mechanics here, one of which is how hard is it to get 100 people plus guest performers all on the same page for particularly a group like this where I'm sure everybody has day jobs and other things going on in their lives, probably around 40 hours or so a week, and they're doing this too. I mean, how difficult is it to get everybody all together lined up on the same notes, same time?
Well, that's why we have a number of weeks of rehearsal. We have a general rule that people should, if they have to miss more than three rehearsals, should maybe think of opting out of the concert. But generally, we were able to people are able to catch up if they miss. I post rehearsal tracks on our website that the members can access so that they can practice on their own if they need to. But bringing it all together at the end, particularly with guest artists, and as in this concert, we have a number of different elements coming together, so is a little tricky. Particularly, normally we perform on Saturday and Sunday, and that gives us a good chunk of Saturday morning to have a dress rehearsal in the Criterion. This year we're doing the Friday night instead of the Saturday night because the youth choruses are doing their concert on Saturday night. So, since we're all one organization, we certainly didn't want to conflict with that. So this time we will not have that luxury of a 3-hour dress rehearsal in the Criterion. But I'm sure it'll all come together. It always does.
Right at the very end, in some cases, I'm sure. The other question about mechanics was picking pieces for programs. And you mentioned knowing that the Siskiyou Singers was doing some other piece that you might have liked to have done, the Rogue Valley Symphony is doing the Messiah and so forth. Do you have to call each other? I mean, because otherwise it seems like you could have three different concerts of the Messiah, particularly Christmas time. I mean, you know, everybody using the same pieces of music, and you're going, "Oh, we picked that one too."
Yeah, it is a good idea to talk to each other. Fortunately, I am friends with the other directors, and so we tried to do our best not to conflict with dates of our concerts. And we try our best to keep each other informed of what we're doing.
Now, the Rogue Valley Chorale is, and you mentioned the youth choruses, so the Rogue Valley Chorale is actually the umbrella organization for the Rogue Valley Youth Choruses.
That's correct. We are, which is why we call the Rogue Valley Chorale Association. And there are four youth choruses. There's a Discovery Chorus, a Children's Chorus, Cantare Chorus, which is the middle school kids, and then the youth ensemble for high school. So there's kind of a chorus out there for all ages, and we encourage lifelong singing. We're particularly now trying to reach out to graduates of the Rogue Valley Youth Ensemble who find themselves either still in the area or have, you know, gone off to college and come back to now become a part of the Rogue Valley Chorale, so that we have the lifelong commitment going on. And certainly we, you know, have many members of who have, as I said, the people who have been in the chorales for 42 years. We've got a really wide age range, which is really great.
Which really brings a smile to the face, too, because when you think about it, the original reason for the existence of the Rogue Valley Chorale is constantly being replicated. That people are graduating from school and looking for a place to continue singing, and this can be it.
That's right. And I feel fortunate as I'm also a music instructor at Southern Oregon University, and so I have some of the students that I have taught through the years who are now coming back to sing in my group.
And what is it like, though, taking over for a legend? Lynn Sholin had done this for 40 years, was
it? Oh, goodness, yeah. that was a tough part, to step into the shoes of somebody who has really put his stamp on this organization and on the Valley. I mean, he's really an icon, musical icon.
I mean, the auditorium at North Metro High School is named after him, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Right. The Lynn Sholin Auditorium. He is still the director emeritus of the group, and certainly my first year and before I took over the group, we were in constant contact with when questions came up, and he's still a wonderful resource for a lot of information, knows a lot of music, obviously has conducted, you know, went 40 years times at least three concerts a year, sometimes more. So a wealth of information for sure.
Is there anything about trying to make a distinctive stamp, you know, put a Laurie Hunter stamp on the Rogue Valley Chorale and branch off in different ways, take the music in different directions?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what that stamp is just yet. Although, I'm trying to, pick music that has a broad appeal. I'm trying to both present masterworks as well as things that are you know, not as difficult for the singer, so that there's a balance there. I think of this as being the people's choir in terms of audience receptivity, that they're, you know, we sing things that are not always in a foreign language. We want to present things, as in this concert, which is really geared toward the family. So to bring in perhaps new audiences who might think that, you know, choral music is too stuffy for them. We like to have, matter of fact, we're for our African set, I'm having the group actually memorize some pieces so that they can move.
No books in hand.
Move to the beat, uh-huh. and really engage with the audience.
Fun.
So that'll be a new step for this group.
But that really is a trick, I'm sure, and I've had this discussion with other people in other realms of artistry, that you're trying to attract new audiences, certainly, because the audience in it for a lot of performing arts is graying over time, but you're also trying to find things that not only will interest new people, but keep the old ones interested. So you're looking for challenging works at the same time you're trying not to, I think Paul French's words were, scare the audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's a real jigsaw puzzle to put it all together and then to create a program that also has a kind of a through line of, you know, you want to come out and do an opening number that's really going to catch people and close with something that they can leave humming and that sort of thing.
All right. So looking for a bunch of different facets of stuff. And when do you get to pick, for example, the music for a Christmas concert? Is that chosen sometime between July and September?
Yeah, between June and July mostly. We work with a publishing company or a music sales retailer that provides us with an early bird discount. If we get our music ordered by the end of July, we get a 25% discount. So I try to get as much of my programming done in the summertime as I can. Obviously, I'm not always able to do that, but this program, the Christmas program, was chosen pretty much last July.
You wouldn't be doing this, I'm guessing, if you didn't enjoy it. I mean, people don't go into to teaching music, for example, to make lots of money. But I wonder how much you get to enjoy it yourself, because vocal music can be so beautiful, but yet you're working. You're up there conducting the people or singing it yourself, depending on the situation you're in. Do you get a chance to really feel it and appreciate it the same way the audience does it?
You know, it's a balancing act, because I'm one of those kind of people that's very moved by music. I will cry at the drop of a hat when something beautiful comes my way. And if that happens, you know, I try to will let myself enjoy and take in the emotional content of the music, but I know that I've still got a job to do. And we'll just kind of, okay, I can put that aside. But yes, there is certainly an emotional calling to the music. And the reason why I do it, you know, is because music moves me, and I want the music to move others as well.
Okay, those others get a chance to get moved at the Christmas Around the World concerts Friday, December 5th and Sunday, December 7th at the Criterion Theater in Medford. Lorianne Hunter is the artistic director of the Rogue Valley Chorale. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me.